He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
The word cabaret brings to mind Moulin Rouge burlesque or Liza Minnelli with her little bowler hat singing sexy jazz numbers. But now a Singaporean New Zealander is looking to put her own spin on the genre. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar and this is Voices. Today Liz Garten finds out just what New Zealand's first Asian cabaret might look like.
I think it's probably fair to describe Amanda Grace Leo as a pocket rocket. She's small in stature, but when she's performing,
one should become less callow, less shallow.
Or talking about her work, she's all charisma and focused energy. We met up at Biscuit Cafe in Parnell in central Auckland. It's a mid-sized cafe with huge windows overlooking Parnell Road and window seats lined with soft cushions. It's where Amanda Grace comes to write.
You know, when I began writing, I thought, you know what, I'm going to handwrite it, but that went out the window. Actually, my primary school teacher, when I was in year 4, said, your brain runs faster than your pen.
Right now, that quick brain is focused on writing Motherland. It'll be New Zealand's first Asian cabaret.
The first cabaret I was a part of was kind of like a devised thing, and I did it with a really good friend of mine, Bonnie Tarongapai Tokiwaho, and we did a little cabaret at Garnet Station.
Now, I have no idea where Garnet Station was, but Amanda Grace tells me that it's a little cafe on Garnet Road in Grey Lynn where they've turned a granny flat out the back into a theatre.
So it's tiny. And we did a lovely cabaret called A House Is Not a Home. It literally was 4 performers interacting with the audience and sharing personal anecdote and then having an accompanying song. There was a lot of laughter and there were a lot of tears as well. So there was that really surprised us. There were a lot of people crying. And at one point, my late godfather was crying. And it was great to have the flexibility when he had that moment to be able to go and hold his hands as I sang. Yeah, that was a really powerful moment for me. I feel where I realised that cabaret could be so transformational.
Now, Amanda Grace loves jazz.
I love jazz. I've sung jazz and I was like almost going to go to uni for jazz. And when I think cabaret, yeah, I think jazz.
But her cabaret won't necessarily conform to that kind of old-fashioned idea of the genre.
I'm really interested to see how we can potentially flip the genre or the expectation of only having jazz in cabaret. So the only rules that I'm aware of, really, loosely speaking, are that the cabaret has to break the fourth wall, just needs to have some sort of interaction with the audience.
Motherland didn't start out as an Asian cabaret. Amanda Grace and fellow artist Chai Ling Huang first imagined a show starring 3 women from different ethnic backgrounds.
So it was more about the idea of mothers, but it was still about race and ethnicity. Mm. And it was about how 3 of us are all migrants to Aotearoa, and we wanted to look at the intersecting identities and how the migrant experience looks very different based on 3 very different, like, migrant to'iwi or Pākehā types. So that is something I do very much want to bring into the cabaret, because I think, especially in the Asian community, and I say Asian quite generally, we're quite bad or have not been very good of late at kind of talking about how we see ourselves, you know, as visitors, as manahiri, and as migrants to Aotearoa. And how do we honour te tiriti and also find a place?
It was about here that the perils of conducting an interview in a cafe became clear.
I'm going to hoof my coffee down.
So we headed for somewhere quieter.
Thank you so much, guys.
In a little square just down the road, we settled on some park benches to talk more about Amanda Grace's own background and how that influences her work.
So I'm Chinese, Peranakan Singaporean. So Peranakan is kind of like a sub-ethnic group. And it came from the intermarrying between the Malay and the Chinese in Malacca, in Malaysia. Like, in a way, I'm a migrant to Singapore as well, right? Because my ancestors came over on boats to Singapore.
Her parents moved to New Zealand and had their 4 children here. Then, when Amanda Grace was 9, they all returned to Singapore. It wasn't an easy transition for her.
I lost my Kiwi identity and it was really, really difficult. The whole time in Singapore, because I presented as Chinese, and I do look Chinese, and because I was going into public school, you know, and my parents are not expats, So we lived a very local Singaporean life. I was expected to just be a Singaporean, whatever that meant at the time. And the like bright trampoline days of my childhood just seems so far away. But yeah, I guess there was always this like longing for Aotearoa and Tamaki Makaurau specifically, because I grew up here.
Amanda Grace came back to New Zealand when she was 18 to go to university. She's 28 now.
So that's 10 years.
10 years, congratulations.
There we go. Thank you. It's my 10-year mark.
She doesn't think she'd be writing this show if she'd stayed in Singapore.
No, I don't think so. Like, my journey would have taken a very different turn had I stayed in Singapore. And while I love visiting Singapore, and it is one of my homes as well, you know, it is my motherland, I suppose. I mean, China's then also my motherland. And that's also what I want to talk about. Like, what does motherland even mean?
Picture a lot of shrugging here.
You know, when you are a third culture kid, have you heard of this term?
No.
It's when someone has been uprooted from their original culture, first culture, so to speak, and then they live somewhere else. So that's their second culture. And then they move again. And then that's right. Their third culture. I think I'm explaining that correctly.
Yes. Yeah.
But when anyone who has any sort of diasporic experience can speak to identity politics in that sense.
So this third cultureness and the longing Amanda Grace always felt for what she calls her trampoline days, it's all going into this cabaret. And so are some of the discoveries she's made since returning home to New Zealand.
You can never, ever really return to that past. You know, I still go and visit my old house, my old church. Like, when we talk about ghosts of the past, we always think intergenerationally, right, I suppose. Or I do, being Chinese. But I realise that sometimes the ghost of the past can be me just wanting something from my childhood back.
Yeah, the ghost of you.
The ghost of me.
It's these kind of realisations, if you like, that saw Motherland morph into an Asian cabaret.
In me calling it the first Asian cabaret is a label that I've deliberately put on it, because I guess in terms of my journey, it has culminated in me wanting to make this work to talk about what it means to be Kiwi Asian, and then to talk about the differences in the diasporic communities, because my experience as, you know, a cis-het light-skinned Chinese woman is going to be very different from like my queer Indian counterparts, or my queer South Asian counterparts, or queer non-binary counterparts. So I think we are at a time when we're talking so much about identity politics, and we're at a point where I think everyone, even Pākehā, are wanting ways to identify and express themselves in their terms. The cabaret has come at that time in my journey where I'm really trying to solidify my kaupapa when it comes to the mahi that I'm making. I don't want to speak, well, this is the hard thing because I've labelled it Asian, but I also don't want to speak for everyone's experience, but I want every performer that I have to have the agency to bring their own storytelling and their own stories to it. So I guess I've called it an Asian cabaret because I haven't seen a cabaret in Aotearoa that's completely Asian. So actually, when I say Asian cabaret, all I really mean is it's full of Asians. You know, it's full of Asians, whatever that term is. And actually, mate, you know what? And if there is a performer that doesn't want to have to interrogate their Asianness as such, I also want that to be okay. I mean, I believe that the body is political. I love that phrase. And so it is an Asian cabaret by virtue of your body being in it, because the body is cultural, the body is historical. So, you know, maybe I don't even need to talk about my Chineseness, because it is just on stage, you know, like people can see. And that's the great thing is, like, you know, we get to redefine what every label means to us. And I see the piece as a opportunity to redefine that, but maybe not in the way that people think. And I am probably more interested in how sharing intimate experiences with audiences can change people's perceptions of what belonging to a specific ethnic group might mean.
Amanda Grace says Asianness is such a general label, and it's easy to forget all the different sub-ethnic groups within it.
I guess what I hope the cabaret will do in terms of presenting itself as Asian is to allow us to sit with differences, because I really think that the way forward in terms of decolonizing our worldview and being able to erase racism is actually to not erase difference, but to get comfortable with it and really celebrating and appreciating our differences.
So what can an audience expect from Amanda Grace's cabaret?
I want people to be confronted, but I also want them to be touched. So I would love for people to come and have moments, like, no matter their background, I want them to have moments where they're like, I relate to that. Because, I mean, essentially the theme is about our relationship to our mothers and our grandmothers and our mother figures, and it's also about our relationship to the whenua. That's why it's called Motherland.
And if you come to it with Moulin Rouge expectations,
I'm interested in how we can also maybe play on that in the cabaret, like how people might come with an expectation that it's going to be a very, like, burlesque, it's going to be very, it'll be presenting sensuality and sexuality in a performative sense. And then, you know, and to juxtapose that with, like, Asian identity, which is only really exoticized in the media, actually, right? You know, the trope is when Asians are in the media, whether that's, you know, Southeast Asian or Chinese, they're either vilified or exoticized or sexualized, hypersexualized, right? So I guess we haven't made any, like, overt decisions about whether there will be a bit of burlesque in it or not. But I am interested in the idea of juxtaposing Asian sexuality with storytelling.
Amanda Grace has commissioned three composers to collaborate on a book of 10 songs. She writes the bass text and they come up with the musical score.
The brief so far is to kind of come up with a bare bones song. So we'll have 10 kind of, you know, quite bare bones song, and then I will leave it up to the director to decide on the genre. So that's the fun thing, is that the songs can hopefully be taken and repurposed for any, for most genres you like. So if, you know, my director had a vision for the piece to be a rock musical, the songs could be turned into rock songs. So the songs are there as kind of like a template and a basis for interpretation. And I think that's how we're approaching the script.
At this point in the production, Amanda Grace is discovering a lot about writing.
For now, I'm really writing from experience and writing about longing and writing about all these things that actually do have everything and nothing to do with my mother and my whakapapa. You know, that's the interesting thing about writing, is you're always like, this has nothing to do with XYZ. And then before you know it, you're like, it actually has everything to do.
Amanda Grace hopes Motherland will be ready for showing next year, but she knows she's got a long way to go before her cabaret is up on stage.
I know, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, what is this? I don't even know.
In the meantime, she's got the passion and the support, thanks to a Creative New Zealand grant, and for now, she's happy keeping a cafe in business while she writes. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings, learn to fly. This episode of Voices was produced by Liz Garten and engineered by Adrian Holley. You can find Voices on the RNZ website or any podcasting apps like Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify and iHeartRadio. Subscribe and you get a new episode every week. It's free. And if you're looking for something else to listen to, check out the new season of RNZ's Healthy or Hoax, hosted by Stacey Morrison. Thanks again for listening to Voices. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.